Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday, April 12th, 2018. This is Elaine, and this is a PSS group call, the 3 p.m. Eastern Time group call. And let's start with check-ins, and then we will move into our conversation for the day. Who wants to get us started with a celebration or a check-in?
This is Julie. I'll go ahead. Early this week, I had a talk with my 14-year-old. We have to register for high school and pick up classes and stuff, and so we had kind of a nice his phone was held hostage at this time, so I think that's why we had this nice conversation. But anyway, we had this conversation about next year and which classes he wanted to take and sort of the school he goes to now and their philosophy on homework and how that's going to be different next year. And so I said we need to develop these habits now, kind of last minute, but anyway. And so he was on board, and he's been on board ever since to do, you know, a little bit of reading every night, which – again, things we should have been doing all along, but I haven't been pushing it. But he seems engaged in the idea of, you know, the future. He's thinking about it. So to me, it's huge.
Well, and so can I offer a reframe for you from the we should have been doing this all around along to, he's ready for this now.
Yes, and I'm ready too.
Okay. And you're ready now. And so now it's time. It wasn't time before. There were a lot of other things you were working on and he was working on that other kids weren't.
Right. This is true.
Right. So I'm just inviting you to drop the should a little bit, you know, and remember that you've been doing a whole hell of a lot of stuff that other parents have never even had to contemplate. Right. And so now that he's getting to this, that's pretty cool. Right? Yeah. So, yay. Who else? And Devana, I saw that you joined us. Welcome.
Hi.
So we're just doing celebrations and check-ins. Anybody else want to share?
Well, this is Joy. I guess I'll get started. So my son is 6. He'll be 7 in 2 weeks. Normally, mornings are very chaotic, reminding him constantly to, you know, get dressed, brush his teeth, so on and so forth. But out of the blue, 2 days ago, my husband was here going to take him to school. He got up, came and told my husband it was time to get up. He went and got completely dressed, brushed his teeth before my husband could even get out of the shower. And he was just
awesome. Amazed.
Now, that was just once. I don't know how long till we'll see that again. But, yeah, it was a great day to praise. And my husband was praising him. And he was very proud of himself.
Awesome. Well, so two things I'll offer you on that. One is I'm really big on that language of being proud on himself and to just keep using it. It's like, I bet you were proud of yourself, because it's really way more important for him to be proud of himself than for you to be proud of him. So that's great language. And I love the celebration piece. There was something else you said that I wanted to jump on, which is it's okay if you don't see it again. Sometimes those moments, especially with really young kids, to just have seen it so you know it's possible and it's in there, is just that is enough to hold on to on those days where you just want to pull your hair out, right? So remember that moment.
Okay.
Because it will come back and serve you later, okay?
Sounds good.
Yep. Lisa, what about you?
Hello. As you can tell, I'm almost speechless. Yeah, I haven't called in a while. I'm almost speechless. I don't know what to say. I haven't called in a while because I've been really, really busy. Things weren't really quite good, you know, with my son. You know, and for as much as he let us know about, and he's in his first year in college, which I was always holding my breath and always having a positive attitude, and we suspect he will not be able to return to the school that he has the scholarship with because he was unable to maintain the 3.0 average. And
yeah,
that's fine.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, it's too hard. You know, that's fine. And so we're trying to come up with a plan as we speak as to his next step. And he sounds like he wants to go to community college. In fact, he might take summer courses, too, for English, because he's really having a hard time with English, not surprisingly, and then work this summer and then return to community college in the fall.
So yep. Let me bottom line you. There's a lot of pieces in that, and some of it is hard, and some of it is a celebration. What's the celebration for you?
That he was able to be somewhat successful in some of his classes, which is huge.
Great.
For him.
So he was able to be successful in some of his classes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And that is huge.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Devonna, what about you?
I mean, it's the classic story, right, where you see some positive, and I was all set to help him think about taking AIM himself, and I feel like we're right back to square zero. I can celebrate that my husband and I are surviving. Our relationship is intact. We are not getting a divorce over this. That is
okay,
really important.
Relationship with spouse is it sounds like not just surviving, but you're still working together. Is still engaged.
Oh, yes. We are deeply engaged. We are on the same page. We are a great support to each other. That is
awesome.
A super strong part of my life, and I think I would die without that, but that is something to celebrate. Okay, so that's my celebration.
That is a huge celebration. Really. This is the kind of thing that does tear a lot of marriages apart. So if whatever happens, if you still manage to be on the same page, that's your long plan, right? This is who you got married because you sort of want to grow old together, right?
Yeah.
So well done. Okay. So let's shift into taking AIM, and think about what do you want to focus on in the coming weeks.
I think I have to check in and get some feedback before I can even move to that.
Okay. Do you want to wait? Let us do check-ins with everybody else and then introduce the topic and then check in, or you want to check in now?
Either way.
Okay. Let's do a quick check-in while we're with you. What are you leaning towards, or what are you thinking?
Okay. So he finished the show. That's always a little bit of a difficult time. And
yes, it is
and
so hard.
The new quarter started, which is usually a lot of energy and positivity, but it's, third quarter of the year, I guess. So maybe we're not seeing as much of that. Anyway, so he can't get out of bed, can't get to school in time, dropped a class because it was going to be the only class 3 days a week, and then most of his class time is Monday and Wednesday, so he dropped a class. It was only going to be – and he added another class that's a Monday, Wednesday. So that was probably smart. But he can't get to the new class at 10. He gets there at 10:20. He can't get out. He can't start the day. He can't get out of the house. He can't make food for himself. It should last him for this whole day of classes. He can't start homework. He made my house smell like cigarettes. And he had a huge party that he was with drinking that was not sanctioned.
Okay, so there is a lot of stuff there, right?
That's the quick check-in.
Right, and so what I'm hearing, and we can come back to it, but what I'm hearing is that there's something about helping him reactivate or reengage.
Yeah.
That there's a bigger picture for him that he's sort of not, he did some work to get the schedule set up for himself, but he hasn't yet really reengaged.
For sure, that is accurate. And he said, I don't think I can ever go to real college. I don't think I can do it. You just have to accept I'm never going to be able to get good grades. There's no future.
So
really.
There's a lot for him about in getting clear on his expectations, too, and helping him create a vision for himself. He sounds like, and you and I both have kids in musical theater, right? So when they come down from a show, it's like they come down.
Yeah, I have to remind myself part of this right now.
They really, I'm so there with you. And so helping, he's got to find his next reason, his next purpose for doing anything, is what I'm hearing. Is he sort of rudderless?
Right.
Okay. All right, so hold on to that. Let's keep moving, and we'll come back and see where that shows up, okay? But there's something about reengaging in his life or finding his next milestone to motivate him or something. Yeah?
Sorry, I muted again. Yep, agree.
Okay, great. Okay, who else wants to take aim?
This is Julie, and it's something I've been kind of working on over the last week or so, and I want to continue to work on. We have Logan's counselor had him take a personality test, and so we learned about his personality a little bit, and it was eye-opening. And so then I bought the book and decided to take my own personality test, and again, spot on.
Eye-opening.
Yes, and same with Mark, you know, we are complete opposites. And so, how, you know, why do you marry your opposite? Opposites attract, but then they drive each other crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I want to keep, this book has more information about parenting a child of a certain type and being married to a certain type. And so I just want to kind of dig into it a little bit more and see how I can, you know, maybe there's things I need to work on. Well, of course, there are things I need to work on. But I just want to learn more so that I can kind of target where I need to go next, I think.
So it sounds like you're in a sort of stage two curiosity stage.
Yeah.
Around just sort of collecting some information about sort of next places for you to focus.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I'm curious. I think we're all curious. What's the personality test or what's the book?
Oh, it's the Cure-C temperament disorder thing. I think the name of the book is Please Understand Me, and it's by David Kiersey and another author. So it's that extrovert introvert type thing.
Okay, got it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right, Lisa or Joy, where do you want to take aim?
So this is Joy. I think some areas that I want to work on, and I don't know if it's too much or if they go together, is how I set expectations for my son, because he is only six. And I, you know, I see glimpses when he does things really well and then times when he doesn't. Learning to be okay with that and meeting him where he is, not where I think he needs to be. And when he's not where I feel like he needs to be, where I can be more positive about it and
okay.
not fly off the handle.
All right. So a lot of pieces in there. If you sort of bottom line to what's the change you want to see, what's one change you want to focus on, what would it be?
I think... probably first I would just like to be more positive. Like I feel like I'm a pretty good positive champion for him, but as the day goes on and, you know, it's like 8 o'clock at night and I've asked the 100th time to get in bed, that's when it's hard for me to be as positive as I've been at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So
what I want to focus you on is not just staying positive, but what you're saying, the last part of what you said is really helpful. So take aim on staying positive in the evenings when you're starting to run out of energy.
Okay.
Right. So generally, staying positive is a great idea, but it's sort of a big general thing. And the more you can target where you're taking aim, the more effective you're likely to be and the better the results are. Some of the other people on the call who've been doing this for a long time are sort of stepping back and taking aim in some different areas. But part of that is because they're sort of in a regroup place, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so for you, what I want to point you to is staying positive. And by that, what I hear you really saying is keeping your cool, right?
Right.
In the evenings at bedtime. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
Okay. All right. And can you see how that's a much more targeted place to focus and you can actually see the results?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Lisa, what about you?
Well, so I haven't participated in a while. I need to clarify. Do we need to take aim on today's topic, which is champion?
No, you do not. I want you to take aim on a change that you want to see in your life. And then in today's topic, we'll figure out, whether that applies to it or it may be something else that you end up applying to it. But you want to take aim on what's going on in your world, your life, that you're trying to see improvement on, because this is your time.
Yeah. Peace. I want to be more peaceful and less anxious.
Okay.
That's what I want to take.
About what?
Yeah.
Can you be more specific? Less anxious about what?
Yes. About my son and his very challenging relationship with his father.
Okay. So less anxious about your son's relationship with his father. And is it influencing your behaviors? Is it something you're doing that you want to do differently?
Well, yeah. It's influencing my behaviors because I then get anxious, and he feeds off of that anxious energy, and it's not good for him. It interferes with communication, and my anxiety is... Yeah, I do. I try my best to hide it, but I've learned through the program.
You can, right?
I can't. So, of course I'm applying the skills. I'm working on meditation, blah, blah, blah. And I understand it. I'm triggered from the past. I get it all, but it's still, it's a serious problem for my son. And he can't advocate for himself with his father. I'm divorced. And it puts him in a really, really bad place. So,
and what I'm trying to get at is what's the change? I get less anxious, but when you're anxious, what the impact is or what you're doing in response to that, because, and let me tell you why I'm thinking it, because I think part of our job as parents, as conscious parents, sometimes, and I mean this with respect, is to arm and support our kids in being relationship with other adults in their lives, including other parents that may be more difficult to work with. My husband and I are very close. We have a great marriage. My kids are very close with him. And sometimes my job is to help my kids navigate how to be in relationship with their father. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I do it all the time.
Right. That's why I'm pushing you a little bit to get a sense of it sounds like you want to be more at peace with how you're supporting your son around his father, or
I want to be more. I want to make sure that I'm not overly involved or too involved. Like my ex thinks I'm rescuing him. That's what he used to blame me. We're doing, and I know my son's a young man now, and I've tried to teach him, as well as others, the skills to self-advocate, but my son can't because he's afraid of his father. And then I struggle with, should I tell his father, this is the way, your son feels, can't talk to you, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, my son was in therapy for years, and he refused to invite his father in. He only did it once. Because he said, no, I'm afraid. I don't want dad in the therapy.
Okay.
It
sounds like what you're really navigating is sort of a disconnect between your son and his father. And you're sort of in a go-between place that doesn't feel very comfortable.
No, not at all. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. So if I can offer what I'm hearing there is what you really actually do want is for your son to begin to be able to manage that relationship with his father better.
Correct.
So it really is supporting your son in his relationship with his father.
Mm-hmm.
And that may, or I don't know what that means in terms of details or logistics, but if you can shift the focus from even from protecting your son to supporting your son, that could be a real shift. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, it's excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So let's leave that there. And Devon, I'm just checking back in with you. Do you still feel good about where we were in terms of helping him reengage, or is there something you want to add to that?
I feel like that's the most positive thing you could have plucked out of what I said.
Okay. That's my job, man. That's why I get the big bucks, right?
Elaine, I'm serious. I was like, we have the same conversation. I feel like sometimes with these conversations, a lot of times, some of these themes are, like, we keep covering them over and over, and there's a reason for that, but then sometimes that can feel like, okay, I've heard that, I know that part. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was amazed that you did that, and it just made me rethink, like, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't be thinking of giving this up yet. That's still very helpful. Okay.
Well, you know, and that's, I had a coach who said to me, if it's working for you, why would you stop? You know, it's like, okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
It might be working for me, but it's not seeing the change in my kid. But can I, back to basics. That may not be what we're ready for.
Isn't that what this is all about? Is like finding the peace within yourself as a parent so that you can be the parent that helps this child on their journey at the pace that they're ready, sort of going back to what Julie was saying. It's like, no, he wasn't ready to do that before, but now he is. And so here you are, ready to meet him where he is.
It's hard to keep that hope alive that there's going to be progress eventually.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was talking to a client of ours today, and she's been with us long enough that when she started, we didn't have sanity school, right? So she's been with us about 4 or 5 years. And she's actually stopping the program that she's been in for years. And so we were having this really wonderful conversation about what she got from it and where she's going and what she's ready for. And what I realized is, my vision, my goal for all of you is to have a sort of bring it on attitude. What I want is for you to approach whatever comes to you in life and to know, okay, I got this. I can do this. I can handle this. I'm calm. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I know I've got the skills to figure it out. And for some of us, that may happen in a year, and for some of us, that may happen in 3 or 4 years. And I don't judge or evaluate what it is. It's just like I just want you to feel the love and peace of being the parent you want to be, whatever that is, whenever that is. So I know I'm going down a little rabbit hole, but it's actually a nice segue into today's topic. Because today's topic is about championing and celebrating, right? And it's about seeing what's working and recognizing that the solutions are in the successes. And when something is working, you want to sort of stick with it or figure out how to apply it to something else, you know? And, you know, all of us, I mean, you wouldn't be here, not one of you would be here if you didn't want to be a loving, kind, connected, positive parent. Like, there would be nothing in the world that would have you do a program like this if that wasn't a value for you, right? So we're going to start with the assumption and celebrate that your being here on this call or listening to this call later is part of the way that you are celebrating and championing and stepping into being the parent that you want to be, right? And then we all get sort of caught up and tripped up in how, and sometimes it gets really hard to remember how or figure out how because it's stressful and there's so much going on and there's so much coming at us and our kids aren't hitting the milestones we thought they would and we don't know whether it's okay or it's not, right? You know, I mean, Lisa, we've had a lot of conversations about, your son and whether he was going to keep that scholarship or not, and at first, like, it was a panic. Oh my God, what if he doesn't keep the scholarship? And now here you are. It's like, you know what? He may not have kept that scholarship, and that may be okay. And that's huge growth, right? That's big transition. And being able to support him and meet him where he is instead of where we wish he was or we thought he should be or, you know, whatever other shoulds we want to put on it. This is hard stuff. These kids are not easy, and the world we're raising them in is really not easy. And, like, there's this layer of stress that's unspoken that everybody's sort of living in right now on top of all of the just day-to-day stuff that we're all dealing with. So I guess I keep going down rabbit holes today, but it feels relevant to me. Tell me if I'm really way off, you know. But I think we have to take the time to step back and celebrate, you know, where we are, what we've done so far up until now. You know, a lot of you've heard us say, you know, the three words that'll change your life is up until now. You know, before, when you didn't know what you were working on, and here's where you are now, and what are the choices you have to make from here, that's so powerful, right? So part of this is about celebrating them and celebrating yourselves for where you are and what you're doing. And then the other opportunity is that championing piece, right? Like, looking at what's working, what's possible, the notion that the solutions are in the successes, so that you can look at that he didn't hit a 3.0, or you can look at he learned to manage some of his classes this year, and that's huge, right? You can look at, you know, it feels like we've slipped backwards and my son's not engaged, Devana, or you can say, hey, we are on the same page and we're working this together as a team and we're going to keep coming at it and keep trying and keep helping this kid figure out what it takes to manage his life because it ain't easy. You know, and Joy, I know that you're coming in new to this. Like, some of the people on this call have been with us for years, and then you're sort of at the beginning of your journey here with a little one on top of it, right? And so for you, celebrating a champion may be just, wow, he brushed his teeth and he got up this morning, and that's fabulous. And then to look and say, okay, so what, have that conversation with him to say, well, what did work? What had him get up and be successful with it and help him see what his success was today, and to champion that's something that he's capable of. So wherever you are, these concepts of celebration and championing, advocating for our kids, and then teaching them to become their own advocates. This is the long-term goal for them. This is like, these are concepts, this celebrating and championing in particular, are concepts that as you begin to use them with your kids and they begin to absorb it, these are concepts that they'll bring forward with themselves into their lives that are powerful life skills. When you begin to hear your child or young adult reframe a difficult situation and find the positive in it, or see the opportunity, or see what they've learned from it that they would do differently, you sort of kind of go, whoa, because that's the long game. That's the marathon view. And that, the simple tool of celebration is one of the greatest tools. Teaching them to celebrate and teaching them to ask for help are probably the two of the greatest tools that you can teach kids in terms of lifelong skills. So I'm going to stop and open up and say, what's coming up? Because I'm a little all over the place too today. So what are you thinking or noticing? What's coming up in this conversation? Anyone?
Okay, this is Lisa.
Go.
One of the last things you said was teaching your child to ask for help and to learn how to celebrate all their successes. what I struggle with is I have been trying to teach my son how to ask for help for 12 years consistently, and very involved in a lot of different programs and stuff, and he still really struggles, but he cannot articulate as to why, other than because it makes him feel bad, you know, like unintelligent. So I don't know how to help him accept the help and learn how to ask for help. Or maybe he just doesn't know he needs help. I don't know.
Well, so here's what I would say is for a dozen years, you've been trying to convince your son to accept help. Is that fair?
Or no, just to, it's okay to need it.
Right.
Like
it's okay to need
it
and be willing to use it,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And it's really classic and typical that he doesn't want it because he doesn't want to need it. He doesn't want there to be a reason for it, right? It's interpreted as some kind of a weakness, right?
Yeah.
And as I hear that, what comes up for me is I guess two things is where is he getting that message in his world? Because he's getting it repeatedly. Even if he's not getting it from you, he's getting the message that somehow he shouldn't need it. And then sort of coming back to, you know, can you look to times and celebrate times when he has received it and used it and it's really served him or worked for him? Going back to that notion of what's in it for him. Because I do think, I was just interviewed on this podcast yesterday about this topic, and I don't want to derail this whole conversation to asking for help, but I think it's so connected that we send really subtle messages that they shouldn't need help and we shouldn't need help. And so we're sort of sending them mixed messages a lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, we somehow collapse independence with not needing help. Or equate it, you know, we kind of say, if you're independent, then you don't need help, and we want you to become independent. But, you know, as adults, we know that independence doesn't mean that you don't need help. It's that you learn how to ask for the help you need. That's real independence.
Right.
But I do think that we send these really confusing messages about it, and we have them ourselves. Too, you know, should I need help? Like, should I be able to do this on my own? We struggle with it ourselves, and so of course they struggle with it too.
Yeah.
And so as I hear that, what comes up for me is those two pieces. Is, you know, where can you look to some successes and celebrate them in asking for or accepting help? And there's sort of two components of it, right?
Yeah.
And sort of holding that vision of championing that the bigger picture is sort of championing what's possible when you do, right?
Yeah.
What's coming up for you or anybody else around that? I'm not sure if that was a helpful response or not. I'm just sort of thinking it out loud with you. I mean, ultimately, we want them to become their own advocates, which is what championing is, right? You can't ask for help if you're not willing. I mean, advocating for yourself is asking for the help you need.
Right.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
So I just was recently talking to my son about going to the Office of Disabilities at the community college campus and asking about what kinds of helps there might be, and he just really felt like that wasn't fair for him to go and ask for that, that he didn't. That there were other people who had real disabilities and that he wasn't deserving of any kind of assistance.
There you go, right?
And I have you on speaker now, and he just got home, so he can overhear what you're saying.
I think that's great. I'd love for him to overhear what I'm saying. Okay, so that is, there's so much limiting belief there, right? That sort of goes back to that I shouldn't need it. But if you go back to that executive function chart, remember the chart we did? We did it just a few weeks ago, didn't we? Were you here for it?
I know we've talked about it. I haven't done it with him. I keep meaning to, but there's like we pass in the night a lot with our schedules.
Yeah,
and so
I totally get that.
Limited time. That's
my challenge to you: is pull out that executive function chart and do it together, right? And then come back and tell me that there's no need for, or there's not. What the message there is: I don't deserve, right? I don't deserve accommodations because someone else does. This isn't about anybody else. This is about where you or our kids are in relation to their learning or their lives. And what supports, we all need to put supports in place to help ourselves get our stuff done, right? And so this is about creating and building the supports that these brains need to be able to be successful. Because at the end of the day, all any of us want is to feel good about what we're doing in life and to be able to feel successful at it. And if being able to be successful in a classroom environment means somebody else is taking notes for me, or I'm sitting in the front of the room, or I get an extra half an hour to take a test, and then I can really demonstrate to the teacher what I have learned and the work I have done, what a profound difference that extra half an hour can make, or that private testing room, or whatever the accommodation is. But when we're telling ourselves somehow that I don't deserve it, it's not bad enough. Well, how bad does it have to be? I mean, so here's a metaphor that just came up for me. Tell me if this resonates for you guys, okay? If you sprain your ankle or you break your leg, you're going to treat it differently, but you're still going to get support to make it better. So if you sprain your ankle, you're going to wrap it in an ACE bandage, or if you have a weak ankle and you're an athlete, you might tape it before you go play a sport. If you break your leg, you're going to end up in a surgery or a cast or a boot or whatever it is, right? All of those are different supports or accommodations that you need to be able to get that leg healthy enough to not need additional support. Or you may always have a weak ankle and you may always use tape every time you play a sport. But to say, well, I don't want to have a tape, means you may end up never playing the sport. Or it may end up meaning that you're going to get really seriously hurt because you're not providing the ankle or the leg with the support it needs. Does that metaphor resonate for people? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So some people need tape, and some people need a boot, and some people need a cast. Who's to say what you need? But to pretend you don't need it because you don't want it means you're going to end up not playing the game. What's coming up for people?
This is Joy. I've got a question about advocating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, given that my son is younger, that, you know, I do a lot of the advocating. He has a 504 plan, and he does take medicine to go to school. And we've started having the discussions about him living with ADHD and what that means, but not a lot. But he is starting to at least come on to the fact that he feels like he's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like for him to be good at advocating, he needs to, you know, understand, you know, to some extent his diagnoses and where his strengths and weaknesses are. But I didn't know if you or anybody on the call had any thoughts about, you know, how do you talk to a young child about ADHD, and so they kind of understand, but don't, you know, I don't want him to feel bad, or, you know, it's just,
mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Well, you know, in some ways it's no different for a 6-year-old and a 16-year-old, Right. And there's actually, I just came across it today, there's an article on the site about how do you talk to your child about his diagnosis. So I would encourage you to look that up. And feel free to post it on the website for others, on the forum. But the bottom line is to keep it matter of fact, right? To take the stigma and the shame and the blame and the judgment and all of the stuff we make up about it out of it. And it's just really matter of fact. With a younger child, it's like, we know the way your brain works, and because of the way your brain works, we're doing this and this to make it so that you can be as successful as possible. And with older kids, it's more about, because of the way your brain is wired, this is what you need to understand your motivations, your, like, whatever the pieces are to help them see. In order for you to be as successful as possible, part of what you got to understand is what your brain, how your brain is wired, and what it takes for your brain to be effective and successful. And in some ways, that doesn't change by age. Just the examples will change, or the scenarios will change. But this concept actually is what it's all about, because the whole notion of the solutions are in the successes is so key. When you see what works at whatever age, what have you been successful at doing, whether it's planning something socially or getting a homework assignment turned in or getting up and brushing your teeth and getting ready for bed, whatever it is, when we help our kids begin to see what was involved with them being successful, so that they can go, oh, it works for me when I, this helps me when I, and see what's in it for them, because the ultimate goal here is this is about what's in it for them. We want to help them become independent, happy, and fulfilled in their lives. And to be independent, happy, and fulfilled, we have to sort of know how to help ourselves do our best or be our best at whatever it is we're going to do. I mean, you all know I have one of my kids who's really, really, really bright, never went to college. School was a nightmare for her. And we worked really hard, and she worked really hard to get through high school. But college was not going to work for her, not immediately. Is it possible she may go back at some point? Yes. I think it's unlikely because she's got a career, but it's possible. But it wasn't the path for her. What was the path was celebrating what she was doing well and championing what we did see was possible for her and helping her see what was possible for her and not having it be about what was needed or necessary for everybody else, but really about helping her know herself and see what was good about and positive and constructive, see what her strengths were, instead of what we all end up doing, which is spending so much damn time focusing on where the deficits are. So, Joy, I hope that helped answer your question, and I would definitely, it's a good question to pose on the forum, asking other parents of younger kids how they talk to their kids about it, and definitely look on the site because there are a number of articles about it. And I can guarantee you that every other parent on this call who has a teenage kid wishes they had this conversation with their kids at 6 and 7 instead of waiting till later like most of us did. Is that fair to those of you, the rest of you on the phone? Would you agree?
I think yes, to some degree. With Logan, we would say, because he would take medicine, and we would say that it would help him make good choices. And we never talked about a diagnosis or anything. We just talked about how the medicine was helping him. I mean, now we've talked about diagnosis, but he's 14, and so those conversations came more as, we're having these 504 meetings, and I think I was hesitant to ask for help, too, in that arena, so I waited too long probably for the 504. So good on you, Joy, for having that in place already.
Yeah, absolutely. And something about what you said, Julie, is we often start early on talking about the outcomes. This will help you make better choices, right,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually a great way to describe it for a little kid. And the step before that is, because of the way your brain is wired, it's sometimes it can be hard for you to make good choices. And
yeah.
So this will help you, right? That's the piece that I wish I had known when my kids were little, was to really acknowledge the challenge instead of just offering the solution. So we have about 10 minutes left, and I want to really, let's spend a little time in our closeout today and sort of see what y'all are taking from this conversation and what you may want to do with it. Because it's interesting. Today has been very different from a lot of our other conversations, and I don't know whether that's just sort of where we are in the world or what's going on, but it's definitely been different. So take a minute to think through. What do you feel like you were focusing on today? I know I was talking about celebration and championing and also asking for help. But what were you focusing on? And what's your clarity or your takeaway from today? And then ask yourself and, you know, capture this in your journal. What's a realistic action step for you to take from here, if any? And what do you want to do to set yourself up for success with that action? So let's spend a little time debriefing. What was your focus? What's your takeaway? What's an action step that you want to take? And how can you be successful with that?
On the, someone mentioned asking for help earlier, and Logan, we started him in counseling a couple months ago, and he really was resistant, not interested in going, and I finally understood why. He said he doesn't want to be a meme, and I said, what do you mean a meme? And which I know what a meme is, but
right.
he said that there was a meme about a kid who was autistic, and he had to go to therapy, and he had to do this and do that, and so he didn't want people to laugh at him because he was doing this, and, you know, the meme was a joke. And so, you know, in some ways it's hard. There is a stigma that they're facing and that they're feeling out in the world to admit their challenges.
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly felt that 10 years ago when we were facing the diagnosis. Like, you know, that can't be my kid. My kid's not going to have ADHD. Oh, yeah, look, you want to bet. So anyway, that was just something that occurred to me. And I did tell him, you know, I've gone to therapy. Your dad and I have gone together. It's just to help figure out where your head is. It's not something to be ashamed about or anything. And now he's really opening up to her, and it is going well. But it was, at first, there was shame in it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So much shame that notion that somehow they're supposed to be just like everybody else. One of the conversations we've had in our house a lot is, I am so glad when I'm not like everybody else. Wouldn't that be boring?
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah, sure would.
You know, and so to sort of, we try to pair complex with interesting, because, and I often say to my kids, you've heard me say this before, I love the way your brain is wired, you know,
yeah.
It sure is interesting, but it is more interesting on some levels. It's harder sometimes, but that's definitely a piece, is to take away the stigma of bad because I'm not like everybody else, and to create an environment that reminds us that, you know, the most interesting people in the world are not like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Julie. What else? What else are you taking away from today, or what commitment do you want to make?
I guess this is Devana. Stay the course.
Stay the course. So, and what I would offer you in terms of action, Devana, potentially, is to look at, you know, where's the next place to take aim, and to spend some time thinking about it with him, about sort of what does he want to see changed in his life, not about what does he want to fix in how he approaches life, but what's some change that he wants to see that you can begin to help him find the resources to address. Because that place of limbo is a hard place for teenage kid to be, and I'm right there with you with my son, so I can relate to it in particular. But that notion of, okay, it's time to reengage, what does that look like this time? So I'll just offer that as a possibility for you. Lisa,
yeah.
What about you? What are you taking away? Or go ahead, Devana.
Oh, you know, I think I might just send an email to his therapist and just say, hey, this is what I'm noticing. And when I'd be, you know, curious if you and he together can explore what, you know, what reengagement would look like for him and what would be motivating to him going forward now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if your son's like mine, and it sounds like he is, he's got to have that next thing on the horizon to look forward to. And if they go from show to show to show and there's downtime between shows, it can be really hard.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the next one scheduled. We don't know what's
right. I hear you. What about you, Lisa? Where are you? What are you taking away?
Well, I mostly just by listening to you and to the other individuals, learning from them and how I can apply some of the comments made today to my given situation. So I guess that was sort of like my focus. I was ambivalent about calling because there are things I'm concerned about, as I shared earlier, so it's hard for me to sort of apply what I'm hearing because of other things. And I'm thinking about, you know, maybe I would benefit from coaching, so I'm going to give that some thought because there's a lot of pieces that I'm leaving out, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at.
Well, you know, we'd love to talk to you about that if that's something you're interested in. And it is sort of amazing how a little bit of private coaching can really sort of catapult you. So happy to have that conversation.
Lisa, I'll just, this is Julie. I just want to celebrate that you called in today because I know for me, just calling in, sometimes I don't want to. I've got other things on my mind, other things I feel like I have to do. But every time I come to the meetings or the calls, I gain a little bit. And so I'm happy that you joined us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Julie. I echo that. And, Devana, I want to challenge you to pull out that executive function chart. Will you do that? She may not still be here. She may have stepped off. No, you're still here.
I think she mutes herself.
Yep, I think so, too. Joy, what about you? What are you taking away from today?
I think that I really need to acknowledge that my son is starting to see that he's a little bit different and just, you know, figure out how I can start or find opportunities to talk with him about it. I think, you know, he's a little young for like a sit down, let me tell you everything, but I do
agreed.
See opportunities where he does things differently. And I kind of started peppering them in where he says, well, you know, it's just really hard for me to keep my hands to myself. And I said, you know, and I say, I know it is. And, you know, and start talking a little bit about how his brain's a little bit different. And I've read some things on like the ADHD superpowers. And I said, you know, you have all these superpowers. And he's like, really? I was like, yeah. So I'm trying to do that. But I think I need to get my thoughts together a little bit. But I think it's time for me to really start doing it in earnest so that he really understands and doesn't, you know, get too far into thinking there's something wrong with me when there's not.
great. Well, and here's what I would offer is I often don't talk about it as your brain is different, but I often talk about it as the way that your brain is wired. Because all I want to do is meet you. Like, the way your brain is wired, and is when they have siblings, you begin to say, like, for you it's this, for your sister it's this, for your brother it's that. Like, everybody's brain is wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes away some of that stigma.
Okay.
And as I say, there are several, I was just looking up on the website talking to your child about, and there are tons of articles on the site about. There's one from Keith Lowe when she was at Health WebMD or something like that about what your child needs to know about ADHD, and then there's a bunch of tips for having conversations with your kids and how to talk to your kids about and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I asked the forum about books and got some good suggestions, so I actually have like just like a little reader to read with him. I think it's like Corey's Story. Because he really likes to read anything that, you know, I read to him, he wants to sit and listen to it. So I think that'll be another avenue as well.
That's great. And I'm looking for that the particular article that I came across today. When I find it, I'll post it, because I can't seem to find it immediately without being too distracted. So I'll find it and post it.
Great. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything else you want to commit to, or anything else for closing this conversation today? So as Julie said, I want to echo what you said, Julie, is that I want to acknowledge all of you for being here and for staying in this conversation, and for staying in this process, and for coming back to the field, even when it sometimes feels like you lost the last game or the last five games and you're just tired. And sometimes it's hard. This parenting stuff is exhausting and it's tiring, and we have to find our own motivation and our own impetus to step back and start again. And so I get that sometimes, like, just even the thought of coming to this call is like, oh, one more thing. So thank you for making this space for yourself and for us and for each other and for your kids, because it's incremental progress. And those the time that you spend in this conversation and listening to this call is little by little moving things forward for yourself and for your kids. So thanks for trusting us and for being part of the process. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Bye.